Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Many of us talk and think a lot about food. How often do you talk or think about wasted food? And the more important question is, how critical might that wasted or lost food be in feeding the billions of people that are and will be on this planet? A new podcast by UC Davis titled Unfold is tackling these questions. The creator is someone I think you might recognize. So welcome back to CAP Radio and to Insight.
Thanks, Beth. It's great to be back. It's kind of weird to be back, but here I am. I feel like I'm still working here.
Did you guess that voice? That is Amy Quinton. She was CAP Radio's environment reporter for 5 years before moving on to UC Davis. She now writes about science and agriculture research. With Amy in our studio is Ned Spang. Hello.
Happy to be here,
Beth.
Nice to
have you here, Professor. He is an assistant professor in the Food Science and Technology Department at UC Davis. So frame this a little bit, Amy. How enormous is food waste and food loss in, say, our country?
Well, it's an enormous problem in our country, and it's an enormous problem worldwide as well. We guess that it's about, estimated that it's about one-third of all the food we produce, all the food we grow, all the fish we catch, all the animals we raise, one-third is wasted.
So what's the big picture of UC Davis's department? It's the Food Science and Technology Department. In terms of trying to accomplish something.
Right. Well, food waste, if we can capture what we waste, then we can help feed more people worldwide. And that is what this season's podcast is all about. How can we sustainably feed more people worldwide? We're expected to reach 10 billion people by 2050. Mm. That, combined with climate change, is a huge challenge.
You know, when you just gave the one-third statistic, I realized I can't even comprehend that. I'm trying to think about it, but I can't feel it. I can't know it. And it's a place where I think a lot of people just shift into helplessness.
Yeah.
Out of not knowing what to do. So one thing I like about Unfold is you bring it down to a daily level. Tell me about the title of the podcast.
Well, we named it Unfold because it's a complicated topic, and in order to understand it really well, you have to unfold it, unpack it, unravel it. And that's what we try to do. We try to take complicated topics like feeding more people, break it down, break down the science in it as well, to explain the problem and what the challenges are and what the opportunities are to solve those problems. And UC Davis experts are working on that.
What's the scope of why this is such a big challenge? What are some of those reasons?
Well, much of the population growth that we're going to see is going to occur in some of the world's poorest countries. And these are countries that are already struggling with hunger and malnutrition. And then you put that along with climate change. These are going to be in areas that may be affected by climate change the most. So it's going to put pressure on our land, and it's going to put pressure on our food supply.
Back to this point about daily life and really looking at the food around us. You introduce us to a scene with sweet potatoes, I think.
Yes. Well, so one of the things we wanted to do in this podcast is not just talk to experts, but go to where you can tell these stories. And with food waste, as Ned will tell us, it all ends up at our landfill. So, or a lot of it ends up in our landfill. So I went to the Western Placer Waste Management Authority's landfill, where I met program manager Eric Otto. And he was showing me where restaurants and grocery stores and sort of these big generators of food waste, they had recently arrived with the food waste and sort of dumped it in a pile in front of us, and this is what he had to say.
I can see some sweet potatoes and some oranges and other kind of fruit. It looks like someone rolled it around in a bunch of dirt and is pretty mushy and starting to decompose, and then that's mixed with a lot of ground up green waste.
But you know, look at these. Some of this food does not look like it's spoiled. I mean, it obviously I wouldn't want to eat it now, but
right.
It went into the garbage, it probably was edible.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, we as a society, when you go to the grocery store, everything has to be perfect and look nice. And even something that's slightly blemished, you'll find that those grocery stores take it off the shelves because they know that it won't move.
Gosh. I mean, this is amazing to me.
It's equally shocking and saddening that you see this, that there's so many places where folks don't have enough to eat and we're throwing away perfectly good food.
I thought that was such a profound thing to say, and it really was unbelievable. I think you can hear it in my voice. I just, you know, everybody's seen food waste before, but when you see such massive quantities, it's really amazing. But I should say that we do try to have fun with this episode in particular. That's why it's called "You've Come a Long Way, Baby Carrot," because the baby cut carrots were invented by a California carrot farmer as a solution to wasting so many carrots that were misshapen, cutting it down to a smaller size where people could still eat it.
I think you have unintentional fun too, because episode one starts with you saying, "Hey, Alexa." And you're actually talking to your co-producer and co-writer, Alexa Renee.
Yes.
But I thought you were talking to the device, the smart device, Alexa.
She gets that all the time.
Hey, Alexa. Hi, Alexa. All right. So we're giving Alexa Renee credit there. And you were just listening to a clip from the new podcast, Unfold, created by Amy Quinton. Professor Ned Spang is with us, and he's just put out a study on food waste and some of the causes. We've talked about the scope of this problem. Do you want to add more detail to that?
Sure, absolutely. As Amy mentioned, about one-third of our food globally is wasted, and I actually look at that from an environmental perspective. I think about all the resources that were allocated to grow and process and deliver that food to people. So when it's not eaten, those resources were not used very effectively. So we can think about just water use. About 70% of our water use on the planet is allocated towards agriculture. So if we're losing a third of our food downstream, it's really a lot of water that was not put to its most productive use.
Do you or your department, your team of researchers, point a finger at consumers, at growers, at grocers? Where's the most culpability?
That's a great question, and I don't want to get trapped by that one, because that one would be a hard one to actually place blame here. We're all a little bit to blame, from consumers up through the whole food supply chain. And you can kind of think about how it works. When you go to the grocery store and you're looking at the fruit, you don't want to be the one buying the bruised apple. You'd prefer to have the apple that wasn't bruised. And so that translates up to the store that doesn't want to put things on the shelf that aren't going to sell. That translates all the way up to the grower who might not even pluck that peach off the tree because he doesn't think it's going to sell downstream.
We have an urban farm, as you know, Amy, and even our tiny little neighborhood produce stand, we've gotten accustomed to knowing what pieces of produce just won't go because of a mark or a blemish. So what about the cosmetic damages and consumer expectations?
Right. Well, it goes even further than that, because there's also these grade standards. This is USDA grade quality standards and how they market their food. So a lot of that, in fact, we talked to Beth Mitchum, and I think we have a cut from her. She's one of our post-harvest and extension specialists who talks a little bit about the cosmetics and what goes into those standards.
Each of these grades will allow a certain amount of defects and misshapen product, and etc. Well, in a lot of cases, there are a lot of criteria that are based on the appearance of the product. So how uniform is the shape and the color, things that may not really have too much to do with the eating quality or the utility of that product. And therefore, it's not worth the cost of labor and handling for the farmer to harvest it, so it gets left behind in the field.
So Beth makes an important point here that really, you know, even though you might drive by a field and see that there's food left in the field, it really isn't the culpability of the farmer in that case. It really does not make sense to harvest something if you're not going to recoup your costs at the end of it.
It occurs to me that it's hard to define wasted food. It's a difficult term, and people come at the definition from the frame of where they are in our food growing and producing chain, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I interviewed Ned, actually, he was talking about, well, what is food waste? You know, if you look at asparagus, for example, we all cut off those, like, terrible, like, end pieces that are sort of tough, that are
woody.
Tough to eat,
yeah.
The woody pieces, exactly. So is that food waste, or can we use it in some other fashion?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I think you really start to run into this issue when you want to measure food waste. And so we come across this a lot in our academic studies, trying to understand what are we measuring? How do we characterize food waste? Because that really leads you to what kind of solutions are available. So, for example, if you have scraps on a plate that you're scraping off your plate, that can be considered, I mean, it is food waste, kind of any way you think about it, but are those scraps edible or were they inedible? Was it the bone of something you were eating? Because that's really a different situation than food that could be eaten by someone else. Another issue is, what are you doing with it? Are you putting it in the garbage can, or are you composting it, or are you even feeding it to a pet? All of those have different implications for the overall food system.
This talk has been a little bit serious, but the podcast, as you said, Amy, is really fun, and you do take lighter perspectives on some of the topics.
Oh, absolutely. Alexa Renee, our co-host and producer, she has done, we call them bonus bites because they're smaller and shorter than the longer episodes, but we're taking on fun topics like beer and wine and strawberries and flavor breeding, you know, some of the things UC Davis knows best. So, yeah, we do have fun.
I think you're ambitiously looking at 10 or 11 episodes exactly. In this first season, and then a second season, too.
Yeah, actually, the next season, we're going to be talking about also a very difficult topic, which is climate change. So.
All right. So where does everybody find the podcast?
They can find it at www.ucdavis.edu/unfold, or anywhere on your podcast platforms, just type in Unfold and you can find
it. Yeah, I found typing Unfold UC Davis, it was really easy to get to it. Well, congratulations. It's launched. Two episodes are out, and third one drops today.
Exactly. It should be out. Should be out now.
All right. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Beth.
Amy Quinton, creator, co-host, and co-producer with Alexa Ray of the new UC Davis podcast, Unfold, and one of the guests of the podcast, assistant professor in the Food Science and Technology Department, Ned Spang. So we'll post a link with more information. I think we'll post the trailer of the podcast, too. That's a great listen as well. After a break, comedian Jack Gallagher joins us. This is Insight on CAP Radio.
Hi, my name is Emily. I have been listening to public radio for years. I work a community-based job where I'm driving a lot, and I literally listen to it all day, every day, and have been doing so for years. Every time there's a fun drive, I think that I should pull over and make that call, and I always just keep driving. And today I said, enough is enough, and I made the call. And I wish I could give more. I'll try and give at least once a year. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Bye.
I listen to CAP Radio because I think today, more than ever, it's really critical to hear different perspectives so that we can understand where points of view derive from. Thank you so much.
Hi there, and thanks for listening today. I'm Jennifer Halm with Chris Hagen, Senior Editor, Digital. We're excited today because today, when you start a monthly gift, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar with matching funds from our board of directors.
And that means twice as much support from you for the type of news you expect from NPR and Capital Public Radio. We focus on, you know, the news that is important and that can affect the community. We're not interested in sensational headlines. And for what I do on the website, you can see there's always a little note from NPR and Cap Radio at the bottom of a breaking news story that news moves fast. And what we're interested in is being right, not first. That's the type of news you can expect from us. And as Jennifer said, your money goes twice as far when you start a monthly gift of $10 or more today only.
And you can easily forget a $20 impulse buy. You know how that happens. A monthly donation of $20 to CAP Radio, though, can just as easily fit into your budget, and it's something you can be really glad about. You only have to set it up once, and it goes a long way, paying for the news, music, and programs like Insight. Start a monthly gift now. Call 1-800-800-5867 or visit capradio.org.
And we've already heard from a bunch of people who are calling right now and want to help us meet that match. People like Tracy and Greg from Granite Bay and Anthony and Joan from Sacramento. They have called in and want to help us meet that match. And you can do that right now. And of course, like Jennifer said, today only. That's very important. When you start your monthly gift of $10 or more every month, your donation will go twice as far. And again, that's today only. So you know, right now. Right now is a great time to make that call.
Eye and ear-opening radio stays alive with your donation now. You name the amount, and when you call 1-800-800-5867, one more time, that's 1-800-800-5867, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar. Or donate online at capradio.org.
And another incentive for today only, not just that matching funds, but also you can be entered in a drawing to win a $500 Trader Joe's gift card. There's no limit on your donation, but there is a limit on time, so don't wait any longer to contribute. I feel like I've said that a bunch of times, but I just want to make sure you don't forget, today is an excellent time, right now is an excellent time to start that monthly donation, become a member of Capital Public Radio.
In just a minute, we'll be hearing from comedian Jack Gallagher visiting Insight Studios today, but right now you can double the impact of your support when you start a monthly gift now. Capital Public Radio's Board of Directors will match your monthly donation of $10 or more, but only when you sign up today. So don't wait. 1-800-800-5867 or at capradio.org.
And I want to thank a couple of more people who have already called in and made a contribution. We heard from someone from Antioch, California, which I want to shout out because my grandmother lived in Antioch for a while. But yeah, so we have people all around the region, not just Sacramento. Thanks to James from Grass Valley and another James from Folsom, lots of James this morning, and Carolyn from Brooks. Thank you so much for stepping up and becoming a member of Capital Public Radio. And remember, again, today only, start a monthly contribution of $10 or more, and you can be doubling your gift with our matching funds from our board of directors. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And one last thing, get your donation in now and you'll be entered into that drawing for a $500 gift card to Trader Joe's.